Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Tevin, you can tell what kind of individual he is. You know, the rookies put up the tree in our meeting room. You know, you should see what that tree looks like. You know, it's a beautiful tree.
How much work did you put in the Juan's Christmas tree?
Say about a day's work, a good day's work. So I had to go to, I went to Home Depot, got a nice little Christmas tree. We got decorations on there with ornaments. Yeah, I get a whole bunch of ornaments.
We're back live with more of the Spiegel and Holmes Holiday Party on 670 The Score.
Wasn't Juan just recently fired?
Juan Castillo recently fired as the offensive line coach at UCLA.
That's right.
For Deshaun Foster, where offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy was also fired. But Juan Castillo, forever in our hearts, as the man who made Tevin Jenkins go to Home Depot and spend an entire day on a Christmas tree.
Why not? This segment with Mark Grody being brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. It's also brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. It's not a game, Illinois.com. Mark Grody now joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Hey, Groats.
I miss Juan Castillo. That is no slam to the current offensive line coach.
Why do you miss Juan Castillo?
Because of stuff like that. He was an entertainer. And, like, yes, sometimes some of that stuff would get a little bit old because we're actually trying to get answers and trying to figure out what's going on with the Bears offensive line and where everybody fits. But he was something, man.
You know the right answer because I could see it in your eyes. I mean, that's what you tell me. That's what I see in the eyes. Maybe your blue eyes are lying to you.
Juan Castillo, big fan of your blue eyes.
He liked my beautiful blue eyes. So, yeah, I mean, stuff like that. And he was constantly asking Chris Emma for some reason, Chris, you got kids, right?
Good.
You got kids? Yeah, you got kids. For some reason, he always thought that Emma had a family, like this big family with all these kids. And
all right, guys, we have time for one more Chris Emma. This will be the last one.
Well, Coach, just say the word, and I'll get my technique fine-tuned and ready for your offensive line.
Wow.
Yes. So, it's why do I miss him, Lawrence? Because it is guys like that in seasons like this where you've lost seven in a row and you're like, you just need something to look forward to. And I think that goes for the players as well in different circumstances, but sometimes for reporters as well. Where's that thing that makes me feel, that makes me laugh and makes me feel good out here at Halas Hall? It's pretty much been lacking out here, obviously, throughout this, this tough time, this trying time that the Bears are dealing with. And none of us knows if the Bears will ever win another game this season.
Well, you had a chance to talk to assistant coaches today, didn't you? Today is coordinator's day. Because Monday is Sunday, Mark.
That's right. That's right. It's very confusing out here, Spiegel. It is. Everything feels Friday-ish, but there are more participants, including the Bears' offensive coordinator, Chris Beatty. And there were a couple of really good topics that came up, stuff that we've all been discussing. I think we may have even talked about a couple of these topics on your guys' show yesterday. But one of those is the notion that Caleb Williams is being a little bit too conservative, as in specifically trying to not throw interceptions, which he's been very successful at, but is it actually hurting him? Here's how Chris Beatty answered that question.
I don't think so. You know, I do think there's calculated shots that we need to take. But at the same time, I think he's done a nice job of being present and trying to make sure that we do take care of the football. You know, I think that's been a focus all season. And really, you know, for the most part, we've done a great job all season long on that. So I don't think it's a lack of aggressiveness as much as, you know, he's got to be calculated when he wants to do those things. And then understand, you know, there are times to do it. If they, you know, we're one-on-one, you know, we need to take some shots.
As coaches, do you want him thinking, don't throw an interception, or do you just want that not?
No, we never talk about that. You know, that never comes up. It's all about being calculated and, hey, we see a certain matchup that we like, let's try to take advantage of it. There's some things that we want to try to do a little bit more of, and then there's some things that we, you know, that we might be missing because we're seeing them for the first time or, you know, in a game or full speed. So those things we're trying to get better at.
Man, I'm so glad the beat followed up with that since it was a conversation all week long. And even yesterday with Troy Aikman, Troy talked about taking too many sacks and instead of just get that ball out, like go ahead and get the ball out. So it dovetails together. Doesn't sound like, though, Lawrence, that Chris Beatty's going to, you know, guide Caleb towards a little more aggression.
It doesn't sound like he didn't, but that doesn't mean that that wasn't an edict from Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron, who,
right.
And in Eberflus's case, like we know that he's done the research, and the research says if you stay away from takeaways,
yeah,
you have a really high percentage. If you win the takeaway battle, it's, you know, an 80-90% chance of winning the game. So I can imagine that that was one of his things for Caleb in his first year, and that's a hard habit to break.
Yeah, and I agree with that. That there had to at some point in time somebody had to have said to Caleb Williams, "Look, yeah, you're the future. You're Caleb damn Williams. But look at all these weapons we have. Be patient. Just don't turn the ball over, especially early on." Well, what I will say about that, as we all sort of project that, is that Caleb Williams' response to this topic is always, "Yo, I don't throw interceptions."
Yes.
Like he always says at USC, "Look, that's not really part of my thing." So that's his response, and nobody is going to ever tell, trust me, nobody's ever going to tell Caleb Williams that he's being conservative at times or not taking those shots, but that's just part of his repertoire, Speaks.
Yeah, it is, and it makes me wonder about some of the inaccuracy down the field when he's throwing the ball deep, whether he's trying to be intentionally safe about that, because there have been precious few explosive plays in the passing game from this team that is designed to have a lot of them, frankly.
Yeah, well, and I will say coincidentally, there were some, there's some serious chances taken by him, by Caleb Williams, the last time they played Minnesota, and specifically that the 40-yard pass to Keenan Allen, the drop in the bucket pass, where it was well covered. There was the shot to DJ Moore at the end of the game. There was the throw down the sideline. So just giving some examples where, yeah, I remember Cole Kmet saying, you know, like that was a pretty dangerous pass that he made. So it's not like he's not doing it. But yeah, I get the point that there is some stuff, there is some meat that has gotten left on the bone, including in games where, and I remember DJ Moore kind of referencing this was a different time, but referencing, you know, we're winning our one-on-one battles and kind of leaving it up to us to interpret whether or not Caleb Williams was getting the ball to him. And at that time, he was not. Another topic, guys, that has been big for all of us, and I do believe we were talking, actually, Lawrence, I think you brought this up yesterday, and that was the idea of being less conservative with your play calling early in games, opening things up, taking a shot down the field in the first drive. I believe it was Brad Biggs who said, specifically wording his question as, you know, some of these plays that you have for maybe later in the game, do you want to maybe move them up to earlier in the game? And here's how Chris Beatty answered that line of questioning.
I think I'll go backwards on that question. As far as, I think we've done a really nice job of making adjustments as the games went along. I think that's kind of showed out. At the same time, we need to start faster and maybe be a little more aggressive at the beginning of the game. I don't think it's a matter of holding things back as much as it is trying to let the quarterback get into a rhythm You know, and sometimes you don't have a chance to get into a rhythm. We need to make sure that we play aggressively from the start. And, you know, I think those things will change a little bit here moving forward, but not too much. You know, I think at the end of the day, it's about execution, us calling the right plays and putting the right people in position to make those plays. And if we do that, then hopefully those things will take care of themselves.
I keep thinking about the four straight third down sacks in terms of the aggression and Caleb wanting to be safe, understandably, if you've got a good team, a good defense, and you're trying to win games.
It also just feels like in every game we're watching the Bears, they're playing from behind. In most of the games this season, they didn't score first. Like in a vast majority of the games, they didn't. It was only one, right, where they score first. And so you've got to figure out a way where you're putting pressure on the other team instead of always chasing. And I hope that's what Chris Beatty is talking about here.
Yeah, I think he is. And to that point, I mean, again, referencing, and I'm sure I could reference any of these games, but referencing the Minnesota game, Bears, that Caleb threw the ball 47 times against Minnesota because they were playing from behind. What did he throw, 53 times in that Indianapolis game? So there have been some numbers that have gotten out of control. I think that, look, that every week they kind of throw their arms up, whomever we have asked about the slow starts, and just kind of say, yeah, it's crazy. It's just wild. Like, something needs to change, and I think that there has to be more that is going on in the background or the game planning this week for this game against a team that you've already played once to get off to a fast start. It's just so important for the rhythm of these games.
Yeah, you know, I keep thinking of those last 3 minutes against the Vikings when Caleb balled out after being told to just let it loose and go be Superman.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And the fourth quarter numbers in general, as they've almost always been chasing, are really, really good. So let it fly, young fella.
Yeah, which is really important, too. I mean, that's incredibly important that exists, but we all know that you want to see a guy play for four quarters.
He let it fly last week a couple times to Rome Odunze.
Yeah, he did. He did, and my goodness, the Chris Beatty loves Rome Odunze, and the topic that came up was the idea of being quarterback friendly, and he believes that Rome Odunze already has that. And just a side note here, because you'll hear it and you'll understand the context probably without me having to say this, but Beatty did coach DJ Moore in college. So just with that in the back of your mind, listen to Chris Beatty here talking about Rome Odunze.
I have not dealt with many that are as advanced as he is. You know, so I think that's a hard thing. You know, and I listen to Keenan talk about it and listening to DJ talk about, because I remember DJ's struggles firsthand. He would call and be like, yo, this is harder than I thought, you know, and when I was, you know, from coaching him in college. So he's advanced in those things for sure.
Was he not as quarterback friendly early as Rome is now?
Who, DJ?
Yeah.
No, he was not. He was not. Now, I don't think, you know, Keenan would tell you the same thing, and I think DJ would too. You know, Rome is advanced as a route runner. You know, there's a lot of room for growth, but he has a knack for being able to, you know, move his body and get himself to where he's friendly for the quarterback.
That's pretty cool.
That's so nice to hear.
Yeah, it is. And so, and this is a guy who's coached wide receivers for a long, long time.
It's also good cool ones. That he felt comfortable being honest about that, because a lot of, oh, well, you know, let's not compare. Like, it's nice. Yeah. He's like, oh, no, he's definitely more quarterback friendly than what DJ was.
Yeah, man. And we know what a straight shooter DJ Moore can be, or he can defend himself, that he kind of poked him a little bit on that. I thought that was great and promising. Look,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, we were just talking about this on the podcast, that it's been a weird year for Roma Dunze. Yeah, he's had some nice games this year, but it hasn't really felt like he has broken out yet. But there is a nice trajectory that seems to be happening, and that's one of those things that you could watch over the next 4 games.
It's been a tough week for Eric Washington. It was really ugly against the Niners. And then, you know, the defensive game plan has been much discussed. And I love the way you seemingly have this one phrased, Groats. Did you ask the question, or somebody asked the question as simple as, why was everybody wide open all the time?
Yeah.
It's a great question. It's the right question.
It is. I believe it was Podash. I don't think he wrote it exactly like that. Sometimes I like to entertain you guys with what I send you. But
God
is good. I believe it was Potsy. Yeah, no, Potsy pretty much asked the question like that. Like, why were there so many guys open? I wish he would have used the name George Kittle. I wish he would have just said, why was George Kittle wide open?
Juwan Jennings would have been fine as well.
We would have accepted Juwan Jennings as well. But here is what Eric Washington had to say about the notion that everybody was open against his defense.
Well, we have to be better, and everything starts with rushing coverage. Anytime we're in a situation where we're facing a passing concept, it all starts with our ability to affect the quarterback. And anytime the quarterback is able to stand back there, then receivers are going to break open, whether you're in a zone or man concept. So it starts with rushing coverage. We have to do a better job with that.
Specifically with the red zone, like going into that game, you guys were number one in the league in that area. Why weren't you guys able to keep that going last week against them?
We have to execute. We have to do better in every aspect. We have to do better. We have to, and it starts with me. We have to make sure that there are no disconnects, no breakdowns. There's no trepidation. There's nothing that's gray. We have to make sure that our process is right. Our assignments are correct, and I have to make sure that everyone understands exactly what to do in any situation, including the red zone.
Man, maybe there were more specifics at other times, but I didn't. There weren't.
No. It's so funny you say that. It was actually, this is the first time that watching and listening to Eric Washington, I was frustrated with his answers.
Yep.
Because he was asked some very specific questions. One of them was, have you taken a long view of like what's happened? Why you guys go from top five in a lot of categories to what the hell is all of a sudden going on with this team? And he said, well, I don't do that now. We're just worried about next week. And it's kind of like, what do you mean you're not doing that right now? So that was that. That's why I only have one cut of Eric Washington, and I struggled to even find the right one.
It's interesting how his honesty dialed back a little bit once he became the guy calling plays.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was very different. I was sitting there going, man, he is giving nothing to us.
He was really bad last week.
He was really bad because, like, we all know that after play action and misdirection, when suddenly the middle of the field on the second level is wide open, that's because your linebackers aren't there. Your nickel isn't there. Your safeties aren't there. And sometimes it's because you sent them somewhere else. Sometimes it's they bit, but sometimes you sent them somewhere else. So you could go ahead and tell us. We know what we're watching, and he didn't bother to tell you specifically.
It was another one of those moments where everybody watching the game, even the casual fan that's watching it with you to put up with your footballness, is like, why aren't they putting somebody on him? Why is that man wide open?
Why
constantly?
Is the best tight end in the league just roaming free?
Yeah, why was that not a? And it's like, okay, a couple big plays. All right, now do something about it. Adjust, and they really didn't ever adjust until times in the second half, and it was glaring, and it was pointed out on the broadcast as well when I went back and watched. So yeah, I mean, Eric Washington, it's on him now, man. You know, he's under a different microscope now. Moving on to the locker room, guys. I thought this was really interesting from Cole Kmet. I know we heard from Cole Kmet earlier this week, but we actually got something a little bit different out of him. And that is, and just as a warning here, Cole Kmet may have lost a bear from me on my bear rankings system.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Whoa.
Yes.
Is Chicago's very own Cole Kmet lost a bear?
Understand that this is these awards are typically, or my bear stamps are typically guys that are from Chicago, and then they could add bears by playing well and just doing bearsy things.
Well, so the man had a I believe a Brian Urlacher jersey framed in his basement while growing.
That's
up.
Worth like 20 bears.
Right. I mean, so yeah, he's got definitely has a backlog of bears that he can pick from still. But when you guys hear this, there's something specific in the middle of it about the place that they're playing. Now, Cole Kmet talking about playing in Minnesota.
It's loud. Yeah, it's loud. But it's my favorite stadium to play in. So I love going there. It's a blast to play in. It's a beautiful place to play. And I definitely enjoy it for sure. So it feels like you're like in a Game of Thrones set or something. I always enjoy it there. It's a lot of fun. And obviously, their fan base is fantastic.
Do you like the horn, though? Do you like the horn?
I like the horn.
You're a sucker for the horn.
I'm a sucker for the horn. Yeah, I'm a sucker for the horn. Yeah. They do, yeah. That's also one of my favorite parts. The fake snow and the horn is like two of my favorite things.
You better turn you from Game of Thrones.
Oh, my gosh. I like to think I'm all-knowing, so Brant would be my thought. But you can't go wrong with Jon Snow. So
Kevin Warren helped build that.
Yeah, he did.
As a Bears player and Bears fan, do you hope to have one of your own?
That one's pretty beautiful. So yeah, hopefully something like that. That'd be pretty cool, and it'd be awesome to play in something like that for sure.
I have him losing three bears.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm with you, Lawrence. Would you like to give me your calculation on the three bears lost?
I have him losing a bear. It's my favorite place to play.
Yeah.
All right. I have one bear. Losing a bear that he likes the horn.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's at least one.
I almost took two bears away from him for the horn, honestly. You can't like the horn.
No, you can't like
Cole.
Yeah.
No.
Challenged him on it. You challenged him on it. Gave him a chance to back off of it.
You like the horn. There's one meatball one. Like this, I'll take a half a bear away from him. Shouldn't his involuntary response be, "We don't need a dome.
That's right.
We're bears. We play outside."
Yeah.
Right.
And how about
I got three bears.
Three bears.
At least a half a bear pulls away as the reporters are giving him a chance.
Yeah.
You know,
they laid it up for him.
Oh, like maybe you want to pull this back a little bit,
Cole. You've lost three bears.
I think I speak for a lot of people when I say maybe you should go be a Viking. Cole.
You like it so much.
Why don't you go play there?
I don't think you have to go that far.
Well, yes. I mean, he's inviting it.
Wow.
You know?
Inappropriate.
He still has like 17 bears left. Like, we're not trading him if he's got 17 bears.
He lost a bear for dropping a 2-point conversion.
Oh, you're right. 16 bears.
Yeah.
16. Yeah.
Some trouble. This is how you get voted off the island.
Spiegel, I got a little something for you, by the way, at the end of this update that you're going
to
really like.
Well, you need to speed it up because Danny Parkins is joining us at 5:30.
Yeah. What the hell is going on? Yeah, I keep seeing Parkins popping up on the Zoom over here. What's going on? Like, all just out of nowhere.
He's on the Zoom?
Yeah, he's on the Zoom.
He's trying to say hello to you.
All right.
Afternoon ball.
Go ahead.
Let me fly through my last, because Parkins is coming. I get Grody off the air. Oh yeah.
I know how you feel.
Yeah. DJ Moore. I wasn't gonna let you guys get away without one question. We do this one per Bears hit. Somebody has to answer a question about how they are handling and dealing with all of the losing. Here's DJ Moore's philosophy.
You don't even want to know. Kids. Yeah. Kids keep me grounded, keep me awake and not think about football.
You gotta really force yourself to do that. I mean, you said that we don't even want to know. I feel like there's more to this.
More to what? I mean, just relax. You gotta take your mind away from football. You know, when you come in this building, it's football from the time you walk in here to the time you leave out, and then you can't take it home, because if you take it home, now the house all messed up and everybody's sad, and I ain't for that.
Mm-hmm. Do you talk to the rookies like Rome and Caleb about dealing with this, because they haven't done that in their careers?
Hi, Cheryl.
Nah, I haven't talked too much to them about losing. I don't want to be talking to them about losing from here on out.
That's the good answer.
Hey, Groats.
No.
Great. Groats, by the way, someone in the mob.
Yeah.
His new name is Skull Comet. That's cool. Yeah.
Oh, seriously. Man. I learned that from Tevin Jenkins yesterday. A couple other notes here, guys.
Nuggets tidbits, please.
Yeah. So we know that DeAndre Carter is done for the rest of the season. Hightower was talking about that. He gets all emotional about these players. You know, you mentioned Josh Blackwell yesterday, Speaks, and, you know, we gave you a little crap for it. But he was,
what
again, limited
you
in.
It's
a bad moment. It's a bad point of the thumb.
You ruined the whole update. But Josh Blackwell was limited again today. And so we did. The question was asked. So if Blackwell can't go, who you got lined up there? And the candidates are Tyreek Stevenson, Roma Dunze, and DJ Moore.
I'm okay with the first option. I'm not okay with the other two.
That's exactly what Weider and I said. Yeah, it's kind of got to be Tyreek Stevenson. Don't want to. I'd like to see that, like what they could do, but obviously you don't want to see those guys get injured. Last thing is, what was the question specifically that you guys asked me yesterday about? We were talking about the tequila drinking. Was it who would get the most drunk at a Christmas party? Was that the question that was asked?
Yes, of the Bears beat. And then you settled on poor Emma.
Well, no, I settled on Emma, and I settled on Caitlin Sharkey as well, the Shark, who took a little exception to that to me today. The Shark did. She's like, oh, what do you think, Grody? You think I get out of control at these Christmas parties? I go, well, you know, I mean, you just seem like somebody who probably likes to go out and have a good time. And so she took exception, but then she goes, yeah, but Emma probably, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that Emma would.
I'm going with Finley.
That's why I blurted it out.
That's my other nugget. That's my other one. I was told today by another member of the Bears beat that nobody slams a beer faster than Patrick Finley. So you are on with that. And guess who, during this conversation, my little area included in my little Bears neighborhood is Courtney Cronin. And she took exception to the fact that her name was not mentioned.
Okay. Shout out to Courtney Cronin.
She said, I'm usually the point person for this stuff, Grody. So I wanted to make sure. So I'm glad I could add a little bit of texture to the party. Party people out here at Hallis Hall.
Okay.
Outstanding. Great stuff, Mark. Thank you. We have to go because somebody.
Yeah, I see him. Parko's ready. He looks great. He looks great. He looks gorgeous. That's what he always does. Goodbye, you guys.
Yeah, TV guy. A guy from TV is coming on.
He does look good. He does look good, actually.
Yeah, he does.
Bye, guys. I am exiting the meeting.
See you, Mark. Right. Thank you, buddy.
Bears.
Bye. Bears.
I was hoping to hear the sound of Grody leaving the Zoom. We hear the mic going off.
See, there you go.
We'll take that. It's Spiegel and Holmes. It is the 670 The Score Spiegel and Holmes holiday party, and it's been a great time. And now the good times end because Danny Parkins is coming on. I kid. It's a gift for you, the listeners, and for us. We're looking forward to it. Parkins next on The Score.
My likability plummeted.